There was a wedding at Cana to Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called to the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. I don't know about you, but this has always been one of my favorite gospel readings because I really like wine, and I'm sure that many of you do as well. The other gospel reading New Testament reading I really like is Paul's letter to Titus when he says, "Stop drinking only water and have a little wine for whatever ails you." It reminds me, a few years ago, I was able to go to Israel, to the Holy Land, and one of the places we went to, well, we went to Cana in Galilee, where the miracle supposedly took place, and they have many churches in the area, and they had unearthed a lot of stone jars, and of course, they have no idea if these were the jars that are spoken about in today's gospel. But I couldn't help reaching over the ropes to look inside to see if there was anything still in there, because I sure would have liked to have tasted the water that Jesus had turned into wine. When I grew up down in the South, North Carolina, I had a lot of friends that were Baptist, and they were convinced that whatever Jesus turned into wine, that was actually grape juice. And I said, "I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that was the real deal." I mean, even the head waiter said, "You have saved the best wine for last." Weddings in the time of Jesus were not much like the weddings that we have today. They were a big deal. I mean, it was the biggest day of your life. I mean, we might still say that, but really it was a long ceremony. The engagement was drawn out much longer. But the wedding ceremony, the bride and groom were processed throughout the town, the village. They took the long way around the town and village. They didn't have newspapers or Facebook to say, "Hey, look, so-and-so got married." And so the way that they announced to people the marriage, they would have the bride and groom on a carriage that had a canopy on it, and very much like a king or a queen would be carried, they would be carried throughout the village so everybody could see, they got married. And it was kind of like the announcement of the wedding. People would hear the merrymaking, the dancing, the music. They would come out and wish the new couple well. And so they really took their time processing through the town or the village, announcing the wedding. People could bring them gifts. And the celebration, all the family and friends, the celebration would go on for over a week. And nothing was to take away the happiness from the bride and groom. They were treated as if they were kings, and their words were law. And so you can imagine in a day and age when there were a lot of poor people in the world, how important this celebration of their wedding was. It was the happiest day of their life. And one of the things that goes hand in hand with the celebration, the joy, was the wine. And so it was a very terrible thing for to have a young couple, newly married, early on in the celebration, to have their wine run out. Now, there are lots of scripture scholars who think that there's a hint in the gospel reading, it's a little interesting, because they feel that perhaps Jesus and his disciples has something to do with the wine running out, because it says Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding, and the very next line it says, and the wine ran out. And so it was Mary who came to Jesus to tell him about the problem. And so some of the scripture scholars think that, you know, maybe Mary thought it was Jesus and his disciples' fault, and so she came to let him know about it. And Mary obviously had some important working to do with this wedding, because A, she's in the know, she knows how much wine they have, and she knows. And when it comes to solving it, Mary says to the waiters, do whatever he says. So she obviously had an important role, and they believe that it was probably a relative of Jesus, this wedding feast. Now Jesus, when Mary comes to Jesus, his response, she says, they have no wine. And his response to her is, you know, what does your concern have to do with me? Which a lot of times people think that he was speaking rude, but it all has to do with your tone of voice. But in everything that John writes, there's always a spiritual meaning that is underneath what you see on the surface. And so John is probably the most poetic of all the Gospels in that regard, where there is always hidden meaning in whatever John is saying. And in the wedding of Cana, it's well believed that what John is really talking about is the wedding between God and Israel. As we heard in that first reading no longer will your lands be forsaken or desolate. Your builder, your God, will marry you. And so the understanding is that God is the groom, the church is the bride. And without having the wine, it means that there's no joy, there's no exuberance. And so if I could translate a little bit Mary's words and Jesus' response, maybe it could go something like this. You know, Mary comes to Jesus and and Mary represents, by the way, she's the mother of the church. She represents all of the prophets who had gone before her. David, Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah, Joseph, all of the great heroes that are sung throughout the Old Testament. Because what were they trying to tell the people of Israel? Do whatever God asks you to do. Do whatever God wants you to do and be in a relationship with God. And so what does Mary say to the head waiter? Do whatever he tells you. Jesus is God. And so Mary, by coming to Jesus and say they ran out of wine, is to say relationship between God and the people is bad. That's what a sin means. It's a kind of a spiritual divorce. It means a separation. And so she's saying the relationship between God and the people, that relationship is broken. There's no joy. There's no exuberance in it. It's no longer feeding or sustaining. And Jesus' response is, what am I supposed to do about it? Well, we know, right? Jesus, you're going to give your life to reconcile us with God, to bring joy, to bring grace back into the church, and to heal the relationship. You are the groom, and the church is your bride. And so when Mary leaves, she goes and she tells the waiters, do whatever he tells you to do. And of course, the miracle happens, and the gospel said there were six stone jars that were filled he said to fill the jars with water, and they filled them to the brim. All right, they each held between 20 and 30 gallons, and so if you take the maximum, it's like 180 gallons of wine. In other words, it's a superabundance. There's no way that they're going to run out of wine now, not with 180 gallons. And it's not just any wine, it's extremely high quality. The head waiter says, "You have saved the very best until last." And the six stone jars, they can also represent the law. And Jesus, when he transforms the water into wine, is to say there's a new law, which is one of God's grace and one of God's mercy. And so the same thing then happens to us. What is your relationship like with God? You are his bride. Last week we talked about the baptism of the Lord, and you know, I always wondered why I had to wear a white dress when I look at my baptismal pictures. It was actually a wedding gown or representative of that. We call a baptismal gown, but it represents that we become a bride of Christ. And so we can each ask of us, you know, how is my relationship with God? How is the wedding celebration? And we can also hear Mary's words to us, do whatever he tells you. We can hear Jesus speaking to us, what do you want me to do for you? What does this have to do with me? What do you want me to do for you? In the gospel readings, when Jesus encounters the man who was blind, what does Jesus ask him? What do you want me to do for you? What do I have to do with you? And so each one of us, the answer should be mercy. Show us your mercy. Forgive us our sins. Restore our relationship with God the Father. And give us again the joy of being called sons and daughters of God. And so this wedding at Cana, it's not just a wedding celebration that Jesus went to. It represents all of us, the brides of Christ. It represents our relationship with God. And so what is it that how is our relationship with Jesus? What are we asking of Jesus? We want his mercy and forgiveness. What do we need to do to make this miracle happen in our own hearts, in our own souls? It's the words of our Blessed Mother. Do whatever he tells you to do. And so sometimes the church asks us to do difficult things. Sometimes the teachings that the church gives us aren't always what we want to hear. But it's important that we are obedient and that we do whatever Jesus asks us to do so that he can perform a beautiful miracle, so that he can fill us with an abundance of grace and joy.